I am Marcy Smothers. I'm in for Ray Taliaferro this morning. I have a confession. I like gambling. I mean, I'm a responsible gambler, and I don't do it too often, but I spend a fair amount of time in Las Vegas, and like probably a lot of us that enjoy it, you always wonder, you know, has anyone really studied this, and is there... we always know that the house has the odds, but what's the best games to play when you're in the casino? If you're at the roulette table and 10 reds have come up, should you bet red again, or should you bet black? If you're at the blackjack table and there's some idiot at the end of the table, and the dealer's got 17, the bad player's got 15, and he says, hit me, baby, you know, should you stay at that table? Should you walk away? Should you call that player out? I mean, what should you do? There's actually somebody that has studied all of this. He's the wizard. It's wizardofodds.com. I found this website, and he has to be the expert of all experts. He's a professional actuary. He's made his career analyzing casino games. Welcome to the program, Wizard.
Thank you. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you, and I appreciate your being up. It's 2 a.m. in Las Vegas. I mean, Wizard, do you gamble? Wouldn't you normally be out gambling at this time?
No, at 2 in the morning, I'm usually sleeping.
Now, let me ask you, since you study all the strategies and you analyze casino games, do you gamble?
Oh, yes, I gamble quite a bit. I probably get about one-third of my income from actual gambling.
What's the most you've ever won in a year gambling?
This would be my best year so far. I've won about $120,000 this year.
I'd say that's a good year. and what's been your worst year? And what's the most you've lost?
Last year I had a lousy year. I lost about $50,000.
So what is your game of choice or games of choice?
I like video poker, sports betting the most.
All right. Now I have to go right to that. Video poker. Little Marcy sitting there with her pile of quarters. I didn't know I would have thought that would have been one of the dumbest games to play and the worst odds. And I'm assuming if the wizard plays video poker and made $120,000 this year, it has a high probability of success?
Before I answer that, I'm a little uncomfortable being called the wizard. My real name is
okay.
Michael Shackelford, but I do go by the wizard
okay.
on my website, The Wizard of Odds.
All right, Michael.
Video poker tends to get a lot of people who also play slots, and slots is a horrible bet. It costs a lot of money. But video poker, if you play the most liberal pay tables and you play your cards properly, can actually offer a player advantage.
And when you say the most liberal, does that mean betting the maximum bets?
Well, you should bet the maximum bet, but what I meant is that you pay is the pay table. For example, on double bonus machines, there's some of them that pay 10 for a full house and 7 for a flush. If you find games like that, the return with correct strategy is 100.17% of your money bet. So you have a tiny, thin little advantage there.
And is it always a tiny, thin little advantage?
No, it's usually, even with proper strategy, a player advantage.
Oh, it is?
Yes. The angle with video poker is... you can never really expect to get rich off of a player advantage on a good machine, but you're hoping to make money through cash back, free play, mailers, tournaments, the niceties that the casinos give to their good players.
If you'd like to speak directly with the Wizard of Odds, Michael Shackelford, 8080810. So video poker is what you play, and you also sportsbook. That's intriguing to me because I thought that's a tough one.
And while we're on the topic, congratulations to the 49ers for a very unlikely win just a few hours ago.
Thank you. Well accepted.
Yes.
Well, did you bet on the 49ers?
You know, I was close to betting the 49ers on the money line, but just never found a line quite good enough.
Oh.
But I did bet some props and had a net win there.
So go ahead. So in the sports book, are you strictly betting football?
I do bet some other sports, but the vast majority and what I know best is football.
And I think that would be tough because those odds makers, that's all they do is study football. I mean, it seems to me that I wouldn't surprise that is a way to make money. I would think that more people lose money betting football than win.
That is certainly true.
Mm-hmm.
Is the sports books are not in business to give away money. And but what you said is that a lot of people bet football, and the point spreads tend to get pushed to where they should be
mm-hmm.
by a lot of sharp action. And I don't pretend that I can outsmart the market. What I do is I basically assume that the point spread is correct, but and then I look at how other similar games have played out, assuming that the point spread and the total are correct, and then I bet other types of bets where I feel that the line is good enough to have an advantage.
8080810. If you have questions for Michael Shackelford, join the program. I've got tons. I want to know that question that I asked earlier. We're going to get this after the break. If I'm at a roulette table and red has come up 10 times, what should I do? Should I bet red again? Should I bet black? Or will it make a difference? We'll get the answer right after this on KGO. Back. I am Marcy Smothers, filling in for Ray Taliaferro. My guest is Michael Shackelford, the Wizard of Odds. And before we let that last break, I want to pose this to you, Michael. If I'm at the roulette table and red has come up 10 consecutive times, what's my best bet? To bet red, to bet black, or neither?
It doesn't make any difference. Your odds would be best to not bet at all because roulette is a lousy bet. But if you must bet, it doesn't make any difference. The odds are the same.
That was my next question. What is the dumbest bet, the worst odds in the casino?
It would depend on the particular casino, but in general, the worst game is live keno, which has a house advantage of about 25% to 30%.
That is high. So what would be the best odds? What should I play to win?
In my opinion, and I think that of most gambling writers, the only four beatable games would be live poker, video poker, blackjack, and sports betting. And each one of those has a different angle to beat it. I don't want to say that one is better than the other. It really depends where your skills are and what you enjoy.
So now let's go to live poker, because poker is huge right now. No limit Texas Hold'em. What are some basic tips if you're a poker player?
I have to be honest with you that live poker is one of my weaker areas when it comes to gambling. I can only say that I favor playing a very conservative, kind of boring game. You wait for the strong starting hands, which will only happen 10-15% of the time. But when you get them, you play them aggressively.
8080810, if you have a question for Michael Shackelford. Blackjack. Do you play blackjack?
Yes, I play lots of blackjack.
Are you a card counter?
Yes, I am.
Can you count the cards in the shoe?
Sure.
How many decks are in that shoe?
Up to eight, but it doesn't make any difference how many decks are in the shoe, because as long as you can count, you just keep counting. You count for a longer time, but it doesn't make a six-deck shoe is no more difficult to count than a one-deck handheld game.
Now, I'm sorry, but that boggles my mind, Michael. I don't think I could keep track of six ace of hearts and six or eight, you know, eight of clubs. How do you do that? Is it just a mind game or is it skill?
You don't do that.
Okay.
All a simple card counter does is he assigns a point value to each card. For example, in one popular system called the high-low, the twos through sixes count as plus one each, and the tens and aces count as minus one each. So you keep a running count as you're observing the cards. And then at any given time, you should divide what's called a running count by the number of decks left, just make a guess, to get what's called the true count. And the greater that true count is, the more you should bet and the more the odds will be in your favor.
Okay, now, you're a card counter. You live in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
You teach at the University of Las Vegas, is that correct? Casino math?
Yes, I'm not teaching it at the moment, but yes, I have.
So have you been recognized as being a card counter? Have you ever been kicked out of a casino?
Yes, to both questions a few times. It's now my policy that I don't count here in Las Vegas because I don't want to lose other opportunities outside of blackjack, like video poker and tournaments perhaps. But when I do go out of town, like to Reno, I have no compunction about getting back into it and counting again.
What do I do if I'm at the blackjack table and the person in the far corner is hitting on a 15 when the dealer has a 2? Should I leave that table? Do I talk to the player? What do I do when there's really a poor player at the blackjack table?
Just mind your own business and play your own cards. A bad player does not, contrary to popular myth, change the luck of everybody. It makes no difference. The odds are the same.
Well, forget about changing the luck, but it doesn't change the outcome. They're not taking cards that you would normally get if they hadn't taken too many hits?
Well, they might, but they also might take cards that would help the dealer. And in the long run, it doesn't make any difference. A card is a card, and they're just as likely to help you as to hurt you.
800-800-810 if you'd like to speak with the Wizard of Odds, Michael Shackelford. What about insurance and blackjack? Good idea, bad idea?
Bad idea. It carries a house advantage of about 7.7%. So never take insurance, and that includes even money on a blackjack.
Never take insurance.
Yes. There are exceptions if you're a card counter and you know that the remaining deck is very rich in tens. But for a recreational player, absolutely never take insurance.
When we come back, we're going to talk about slots. Now, Michael earlier said that slots is, you know, kind of a stupid bet, but a lot of people, like myself, like to take their coins that they've saved up for a long time, and it feels like slots take a longer time to enjoy. I really want to know, and we're going to get this answer soon, if I am seeing somebody pour money into one slot machine and they haven't had a winner yet, and then I see another slot machine and there's just been a big payoff, which slot machine should I go to? Where will I have a better chance of success? And we'll get that answer from Michael Shackelford right after this on KGO. Smothers in for Ray Taliaferro. I'm talking with the Wizard of Odds, Michael Shackelford, wizardofodds.com. And I'd like to know this. If I am in the casino and I have a choice of two identical slot machines to play, one recently hit a jackpot, the other has not hit one in a long time, which one should I play?
It doesn't make any difference, once again.
You're kidding me. Isn't it all? Now, is it true that some casinos have quote-unquote looser slots, those that pay out more often?
That is true, but the way I envisioned your question was two slot machines in the same...
You're right. They're two different questions. I apologize. So finished question one was, if one just hit and one hasn't hit in a long time, it won't make a difference which one I choose.
Right. In the same casino, chances are that two machines set side by side are set to the same return percentage. And much like roulette, every single spin in a slot machine has the exact same odds. The game has no memory. So it is absolutely a myth that a machine plays in cycles or is programmed deliberately to hit a certain percentage, and that if it's overdue to hit, it becomes more likely. Absolutely not true. The way the outcome in a slot machine is determined is by the draw of random numbers the moment you hit spin, and those random numbers are mapped to positions on the reels, and then the machine deliberately stops where the program tells them to stop.
So how does one account for these lucky streaks? Again, it's just random.
Yes, it's just random, and in any casino game, even though the house has an advantage, just because of luck, some people will win in the short run.
I mean, it's really true. I've only had that experience once when I was guarding the slot machine, and I didn't want to leave because it kept paying out, and I was sure it was my slot machine and my night. My husband had to pull me away, and I'm not really a big gambler. And we're going to get to everybody's phone calls in the second part of this hour, 800-800-810. I asked you also, Michael, about loose slots, which I understand to mean having a better payout, higher percentage of payout. Do some of the casinos that are not on the Strip or different parts of town have looser slots?
Yes, absolutely. I studied this about 5 years ago, where I used the sheets that show how a slot machine is programmed, and by looking for certain patterns, I was able to tell how loose a slot machine was set to. And in general, I did find that the casinos far away from the Strip where the locals tend to play had looser slots.
That is a lesson if you're a slot player, because you're saying it's one of the worst odds, so if you're going to play slots, you shouldn't be playing them on the Strip.
That's absolutely right.
Now, is it true that you have better odds if you play for more money? So am I going to have a better chance playing dollar than I am with a quarter?
Yes, that is absolutely true. Is the return percentage goes up as you move up in coinage.
So it's sort of, you just have to get over the emotional thing, because you can slug in, you know, $1.50 in quarters just as quickly as you can put in a dollar or a dollar two into a machine. So you just have to maybe slow down, play the dollars in a casino far away from the strip, and you have the best chance if you want to play slots.
Yes, and I wouldn't play more than you're comfortable with just because the return percentage is better. Gambling should be for an enjoyment, and you should bet in moderation. But let's say that you have the choice of one machine, of a dollar machine, or a quarter machine that takes up to four quarters, you would be better off to play the dollar machine for $1 because the dollar machine is more likely to have a higher return percentage.
8080810, 8080810. The Ten Commandments of gambling. And again, we're talking about gambling responsibly. When we get back after this brief break, we are going to talk about the Ten Commandments, specifically number 6. We had a caller who would like to know about thou shalt not hedge thy bets. And we're going to learn why thou shalt not hedge thy bets right after this on KGO. Good morning. I'm Marcy Smothers. I'm in for Ray Taliaferro this morning. And my guest is the Wizard of Odds, Michael Shackelford. Michael, we've had a few calls off air, and again, 8080810, if you would like to join the discussion. We're talking gambling strategy, always gambling responsibly. However, I myself am intrigued about all this. Every time I go to Las Vegas, I'm always wondering, what's my best advantage? Where am I going to do the best? Probably pretty much knowing me, since I'm such a pathetic gambler, my $100 is probably going to go away. But if you would like to speak directly with Michael, please join us anytime and by email, KGO.com. But let's go to the two off-air callers if we can, Michael. One caller wanted to know, you do have what is called the Ten Commandments of Gambling on your website, thewizardofodds.com. And the caller wanted to know specifically about number 6, thou shalt not hedge thy bets.
Okay, let me make a small correction. My address is wizardofodds.com. There's no the at the beginning.
Wizardofodds.com, okay, thank you.
Okay, yes, absolutely. Number 6 is thou shalt not hedge thy bets. And what I was referring to is, for example, in craps, a lot of people will bet the any 7 or the any craps along the way to hedge their bets. Both of those bets are sucker bets. They carry a very high house advantage. Insurance and blackjack, as I said earlier, is a lousy bet. If you're gambling, don't be afraid to gamble. And if you're risk averse, you don't want to lose any money, you shouldn't be in the casino in the first place. So go where the odds are the best, and never mind playing it safe.
Second caller off air wanted to know about the newer poker games like 3-4 card, which I'm not familiar with, Caribbean stud poker, Pai Gal poker.
In general, the newer games do not have as good odds as the old classics. Blackjack, Baccarat, and craps, if played properly, have low house advantages. The new games like 3-card poker, Let It Ride, Caribbean stud, have higher house advantages. Pai Gal poker, though, is a rather old game, and if played properly, that can have a fairly low house advantage.
Now, Baccarat has always mystified me. I see people, it's always in the fanciest part of the casino, people really dress up for Baccarat. Is there something that will help you win? Should you be the banker or the player, play the tie? How do we approach Baccarat?
The simple answer to Baccarat is bet the banker every single time, and never mind looking for trends as everybody else does. The lowest house advantage is on the banker.
Interesting. Now, my husband likes to any strat play blackjack. Whenever he loses a bet, he believes he should press his luck. He probably doubles up or triples up. What should you do? Is there any way to maximize the chances of winning after losing a bet?
No. The cards do not have a memory, and it's neither helping him nor hurting him to press his bets after a loss in the long run. So that's the one place where You have some individual freedom as in how much you bet. I'm just trying to get you to play your cards correctly.
8080810. This may sound ridiculous, but occasionally I like to play bingo. I think it's kind of fun. It's exciting. It moves very fast. It's not expensive to play. Tell me about playing bingo.
The good thing about bingo is you're not going to lose a whole lot of money there because it's a low roller game and it's slow paced. It can be a fun way to spend an hour or half an hour at low cost. But the odds in bingo are not very good. The bingo hall will tend to keep up to 50% of the money for themselves and give the other half back to the players. So the odds on a percentage basis are pretty bad in bingo, but the worst case scenario is not so bad.
But there's the enjoyment factor, which you have to integrate.
And, gambling should be enjoyable, and if that's what you find fun, you know, by all means, go ahead and play bingo.
You got to get the big dauber and try to do like 5 cards, 10 cards at a time. That makes the challenge. Now, you said bingo returns about 50% to the players. I understood that betting the horses, that's the pretty high return, something like 80% goes back to the bettors. Is that true?
Yes. I think it gets a little bit better than that. It depends a little bit on the state and the track. But that return percentage is the best on the win, place, and show bets. It tends to be about 83%. It gets lower on the more exotic bets like the trifectas and daily double and things like that. So in horse racing, I would stick to just the win, place, and show. But I don't consider 83% to be a good return. That's actually very low in my opinion, but much like bingo, it's a race. Betting the horses is slow-paced, so it can be a good way to spend a few hours and only lose $20 or so.
8080810. I want to ask you if there's any way to strategize if you crunch the numbers on game shows on television, and such as, is there any strategy that the players on Deal or No Deal, the super popular game show, can they use that to give them an advantage to win that $1 million? We'll get the answer with Michael Shackelford right after this on KGO. Marcy Smothers in for Ray Taliaferro. My guest is Michael Shackelford, wizardofodds.com, 8080810. Join our conversation. Talk to one of the best strategists, the person who has studied the odds and the best ways to win and lose in casinos. Before we went to the break, I asked about Deal or No Deal because, Michael, when I'm watching it, I'm always wondering, is there anything that those players can do to maximize their opportunities to win the $1 million?
Yes, absolutely. Deal or No Deal is very simple. Is when evaluating the banker offer, it should be compared to the average amount left on the board. And what you will see is that early in the game, the bank offers are much, much less than the average of all the remaining cases. And the further into the game you go, the more generous the bankers offers get in comparison to the average remaining. So the odds in Deal or No Deal favor waiting until almost the end of the game.
Ooh, I wish I could get on the show now. Let's go to Daly City and Ed. Welcome to the program, Ed.
I'd like to ask about poker slots. What are the odds on the poker slots? I would imagine that the cards are dealt by random, right?
Yes, Ed, I assume you're referring to video poker.
Video poker. The slot machines that play poker.
Yes. Contrary to popular myth, it is Nevada state law that the cards be dealt fairly, that on the deal, every card has exactly the same 1 in 52 probability, and on the draw, every card has a 1 in 47 probability that's left in the deck. And most other states respect Nevada law. So video poker is a quantifiable game where you can crunch the numbers on a computer, assuming that randomness, and the odds are exactly the same as if a human being were dealing it.
Because it's considered one of the most beatable games. We covered that earlier in the casino.
Yes.
Does that answer your question, Ed?
It does. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Bye.
8080810. Michael, what about something like the California Lottery?
The lottery is actually the worst bet you can make. The lotteries only pay back about 50 cents on the dollar. The big prizes are paid in installments, and they don't earn interest. You'll take a big tax hit on a big jackpot. The lottery is absolutely a sucker bet, and furthermore, I find it objectionable that there's a government monopoly on it. I absolutely urge everybody out there to not spend a penny on lottery tickets.
And that doesn't matter no matter what state in the union you're talking about?
Yes, they are all bad, and they're all roughly equally bad at about a 50% house advantage.
I want to ask you about something. When I Googled Wizard of Odds, I found out, I guess cheating is a part of any gambling. There are cheaters in gambling, and so I Googled, is my boyfriend cheating on me? And wizardofodds.com came up number one. Is it because of the word cheating, or do you give relationship advice?
I also happen to give relationship advice. It was not something I planned on, but I have an Ask the Wizard column on my website, and once somebody asked the question about whether or not their boyfriend was cheating on her, and for fun, I answered it, and for some reason, the search engines picked up on that whenever anyone does a search on cheating boyfriends, and because of that, more and more people ask about cheating boyfriends, and it just fed on itself, so now I get all these questions about cheating boyfriends.
Is that quantifiable? That sounds like a little bit out of your area of expertise. Craps. You did tell us what the worst bet on the craps are, but what's the best bet on the craps table?
The three odds. After you make a line bet, like pass or don't pass, you're allowed to back that up with an odds bet, and those pay statistically fair odds with no house advantage.
8080810, if you'd like to speak to the Wizard of Odds, Michael Shackelford, and talk about your gaming and your casino. When I walk through the casino and there's a hot table, you know, and everybody's screaming, let's say it's craps. Again, is it the randomness or is there something to that of the certain level of the players? It's all luck, isn't it?
It's all luck. It makes no difference whether you're playing at the hot table or the cold table in the casino. The odds on the next throw on the same bet are always exactly the same.
Does it matter how many players, like if the hot table is full and the cold table only has one person, that won't make a difference either?
Makes no difference at all. It's the laws of mathematics that sometimes you'll win, sometimes you will lose, and gambling is like a roller coaster, and sometimes when the roller coaster is going up, in craps, everyone is winning at the same time, and it causes a common euphoria that you can hear all around the casino. But that doesn't mean that the table is going to continue to be hot. Again, the odds are always exactly the same.
You know, and you're right. It's the same thing as a restaurant. I don't care to go into restaurants when there's no other patrons. I like go to another restaurant when there's full, so there's something about that camaraderie that is infectious. But it's not going to help your gambling. We'll get back with Michael Shackelford, 8080810. If you'd like to ask him a call, he'll be with us in the remaining minutes of this hour. I am Marcy Smothers, in for Ray Taliaferro, and this is KGO.
Some people call me the space cowboy.
Marcy Smothers in for Ray Taliaferro. My guest, Michael Shackelford, 8080810. Michael is the Wizard of Odds. It's wizardofodds.com. And if you've got a gambling question for him, he'll be with us until the top of the hour. Calling from Napa, Daryl, welcome to KGO.
Yeah, hi, Mike. I was just curious about the on the roulette wheel, like your odds of the black and red, I believe. And you know, I know they have a couple of different norts and zeros and stuff. And if your odds were supremely advantaged in Ultimate Fantasy V, if that actually has a sort of an advantage over the hideous advantage the state has on the California lottery. Thank you. Can you answer that?
Yeah, okay. So first of all, on the black and red on the roulette?
I'm afraid I didn't understand the question.
On the roulette wheel, you know how you have, you can bet like almost 50-50 odds, you think, when you're in Tahoe.
Mm-hmm.
On the two zeros, another black or red. And if how much of an advantage the house has, curiosity on that. And this is totally separate, but the Fantasy Five odds, are they any better of an advantage for the player than the house in the California State Lottery on that side of the border?
Okay, yeah, the house advantage in roulette does come from the zero and double zero. And the house advantage specifically on every bet except for one is 5.26%. Which is 2 divided by 38, the two zeros divided by the 38 numbers on the whole wheel. 5.26%, I think, is a fairly high house advantage, so I that's why I don't like roulette.
Would you say, what, like 80 to 20%? I mean, I hate to break it down. I mean, I don't know if there's a mathematical figure approximately. Obviously, it's hypothetical.
Well, if you're betting on an even money bet like red, for example, the probability of winning is 18 divided by 38, and the probability of losing is 20 divided by 38.
Okay. A very small advantage, though. And then on the Fantasy 5 factor, I mean, I hate to go across the border.
I haven't studied the Fantasy 5 specifically, but as I was saying earlier, the odds in the lottery are roughly a house advantage of 50% in every state on every game. Now, if you must play the lottery, I would recommend playing something that has a small number of picks that you need to make where the biggest possible win is not so big, but a higher probability of hitting it. That way, you're not going to take such a big tax hit. On the jackpot.
Yeah. Okay, thanks so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you, Darryl. And with just a few minutes that we have left, Michael, you said one of the most beatable for the consumer, for us, is the sports book. We talked a little bit about football, but what else should we be looking at in the sports book with the higher probability of success?
Now, sports is a tough game to beat, and let me say that there is no easy way to win at gambling. The few ways that you can have a thin advantage are hard. And if you ever see somebody who's selling some get-rich-quick scheme in gambling, run the other way because they just don't work.
No such thing as a system.
Right. There is no such thing as a working system. Now, in sports betting, my advice is to stick with the straight-up bets against the point spread or the total. Avoid the exotic stuff like parlays and teasers. And in general, it's better to bet on underdogs, and it's better to bet on unders.
Unders and underdogs. And what about futures?
Don't bet futures. They're a lousy bet.
Really lousy. Because it seems so much fun, though, Michael. You know, you say, I'm going to take the 49ers to win the Super Bowl, and you do it, you know, 8 months in advance, but that's a sucker bet, huh? It's an emotional bet because you can say I did it.
Right. The futures are a lousy bet, but weigh that against the fact that gambling is fun. And if betting $20 on the 49ers or Oakland is going to give you a whole season of fun, you know, go ahead and do it.
8080810. My guest, Michael Shackelford, wizardofodds.com. Michael, in just a minute we have but thank you for sharing and reminding the listeners all
to post it,
which I'd like to repeat, that gamble responsibly. I brought Michael on because I find his studies, his mathematical studies of casino math, fascinating, that they're, though the margin is very small, there is science behind it. And one great bet, if you're not only going to spend a little bit of money, what should you do in the casino?
I think that blackjack for the recreational player is probably the best bet. The strategy for it is not that hard. Memorize the basic strategy. It's on my site and in lots of blackjack books. Look for decent rules where the dealer stands on a soft 17. And a blackjack pays the full 3-2.
And does it make a difference if you're betting a $5 table or a $10 table or a $1 table, if you could even find it in Las Vegas?
Usually the tables with the higher minimums have better rules. About the best you can ask for is a game where the dealer stands on a soft 17, surrender is good, and resplitting of aces is good. However, you tend to need to bet a minimum of $25 for those liberal rules.
Oh, yikes. That would wipe out my $100 budget in four hands. Thank you, Michael. WizardOfOdds.com. My guest again, Michael Shackelford. I am Marcy Smothers in for Ray Taliaferro, and this is KGO.